What is the role of thought in traumatic injuries?
Abraham, are traumatic injuries created in the same way that diseases are created? And can they be resolved through thought? In other words, like a breakage of something that happened in a momentary incident as opposed to a long series of thoughts leading up to it.
Whether the trauma to your body seemed to come suddenly as a result of an accident or whether it came from a disease such as cancer, you've created the situation through your thought, and the healing will come through your thought as well. Chronic thoughts of ease promote wellness, while chronic stressful or resentful or hateful or fearful thoughts promote disease. But whether the result shows up suddenly, as in falling and breaking your bones, or more slowly, as in cancer, whatever you are living always matches the balance of your thoughts. Once you've experienced the diminishment of well-being, whether it has come as broken bones or internal diseases, it is not likely that you will suddenly find good-feeling thoughts that match those of your inner being. In other words, if before your accident or disease you were not choosing thoughts that aligned with well-being, it's not likely that now you're faced with discomfort or pain or a frightening diagnosis, you will suddenly find that alignment. It is much easier to achieve great health from moderate health than to achieve great health from poor health. However, you can get to wherever you want to be from wherever you are if you are able to distract your attention from the unwanted aspects of your life and focus upon aspects that are more pleasing. It really is only a matter of focus. Sometimes a frightening diagnosis or traumatic injury is a powerful catalyst in getting you to focus your attention more deliberately on things that do feel good. In fact, some of our best students of deliberate creation are those who have been given a frightening diagnosis where doctors have told them that there's nothing more that can be done for them, who now, since they have no other options, deliberately begin to focus their thoughts. It is interesting that so many people will not do what really works until all other options have been exhausted. But we do understand that you've acclimated to your action-oriented world, and so action does seem to most of you to be the best first option. We're not guiding you away from action, but instead encouraging that you find better feeling thoughts first and then follow with the action that you feel inspired to.
Could a congenital illness be vibrationally resolved?
Abraham, can a congenital illness, something a person came into physical form with at birth, could that be resolved by thought?
Yes. From wherever you stand, you can get to wherever you want to be. If you could understand that your now is only the jumping-off place for that which is to come, you could move quickly, even from dramatic, unwanted things to things that please you. If this life experience contains the data that causes you to give birth to a desire, then the wherewithal to accomplish it is available to you. But you must focus upon where you want to be, not where you are, or you cannot move toward your desire. However, you cannot create outside your own beliefs.
Major diseases come and go, but why?
Abraham, in my earlier years, there were major diseases like tuberculosis and polio that we hear very little of anymore. But we're not short of diseases because now we have heart disease and cancer, which we almost never heard of back then. In those days, syphilis and gonorrhea were constantly in the news. We don't hear much of those anymore. But now AIDS and herpes stay foremost in the news. Why do there always seem to be more diseases cropping up? In other words, as cures are being discovered, why don't we just finally run out of diseases to be cured?
Because of your attention to lack. Feelings of powerlessness and vulnerability all produce more to feel powerless and vulnerable about. You cannot focus upon the conquering of a disease without giving your attention to disease. But it's also very important to understand that looking for cures for diseases, even when you find them, is a short-sighted and in the long run ineffective process. Because, as you've pointed out, new diseases are continually being created. When you begin to look for and understand the vibrational causes for diseases, rather than looking for cures, then you will come to the end of the pile of diseases. When you are able to deliberately accomplish the emotion of ease and its accompanying vibrational alignment, it is possible to live disease-free. Most people spend very little time basking in appreciation for the wellness they are currently experiencing, but instead they wait until they are sick and then they turn their attention to recovery. Good-feeling thoughts produce and sustain physical well-being. You live in very busy times and you find many things to fuss and worry about, and in doing so, you hold yourself out of alignment, and disease is the result. And then you focus upon the disease and perpetuate more disease. But you can break the cycle at any time. You do not have to wait for your society to understand in order to achieve wonderful physical wellness yourself. Your natural state is one of wellness.
I've witnessed my body heal itself naturally. Abraham, I became aware early in my life that my body heals quickly. In other words, if I cut or I scratched my body, I could almost watch it heal right before my eyes. Like within 5 minutes, I could actually see that healing had begun. And then in a very short time, the wound would just be completely healed, just all on its own.
Your body is made up of intelligent cells that are always bringing themselves into balance. And the better you feel, the less you are vibrationally interfering with that cellular rebalancing. If you're focused upon things that are bothering you, the cells of your body are hindered in their natural balancing process. And once an illness has been diagnosed and you then turn your attention to that illness, the hindering is greater still. Since the cells of your body know what to do to come into balance, if you can find a way of focusing your attention upon good-feeling thoughts, you'll stop your negative interference and your recovery will come. Every disease, hear it, dis-ease, is caused by vibrational discord or resistance, without exception. And since most people were unaware of their discordant thoughts prior to the illness, usually making little effort to practice good-feeling thoughts, once the illness occurs, it's very difficult then to find pure positive thoughts. But if you could understand that your thoughts and your thoughts alone are causing the resistance that is preventing the wellness, and you could turn your thoughts in a more positive direction, your recovery could be very fast. No matter what the disease is and no matter how much it has progressed, the question is, can you direct your thoughts positively regardless of the condition? Usually at this point, someone asks, but what about the sick child who has just been born? Do not assume, because a child is not yet speaking, that the child is not thinking or offering vibration. There are tremendous influences to wellness and sickness that occur even when the child is still in the womb or newly born.
By attention to wellness, I'll maintain wellness. Okay, Abraham, like, because I've seen my body heal, and because that healing has been visible to me, I expect that. But how can we get to the point that we know that all parts of the body will heal? You know, people seem to be most frightened of the parts they can't see, those parts that are hidden inside of the body, so to speak.
It is a wonderful thing to see the results of your thoughts out in the open in obvious fashion. And just as your wound or sickness is evidence of misalignment, your healing or wellness is evidence of alignment. Your tendency toward wellness is much stronger than your tendency for illness, and that is the reason that even with some negative thinking, most of you do remain mostly well. You've come to expect your wounds to heal, which helps tremendously in the healing process, but when the evidence of your illness is something that you cannot see, where you must rely on the investigation of your doctor who uses his medical tests or equipments to probe for information, you often feel powerless and fearful, which not only slows the healing process, but is also a strong reason for the creation of the illness. Many people have come to feel vulnerable about the unseen parts of their body, and that feeling of vulnerability is a very strong catalyst in the perpetuation of illness. Most people go to the doctor when they are sick, asking for information about what's wrong, and when you look for something wrong, you usually find it. The law of attraction insists on it, actually. A continual searching for things wrong with your body will, in time, produce evidence of something wrong. Not because it was lurking there all along and you finally probed long enough to find it, but because repeated thought eventually creates its equivalent.
When inspired to visit a medical doctor.
There are many who would protest our perspective, claiming that we are irresponsible when we do not encourage regular checkups on the quest for things that have gone wrong or could potentially go wrong with your physical body. And if we did not understand the power of your thoughts, we might even say that if it makes you feel more secure to go to the doctor, then by all means go. In fact, sometimes when you go looking for trouble and do not find it, you do feel better. But more often than not, the repeated looking for something wrong over time creates it. It really is that simple. We're not saying that medicine is bad or that there is no value to be received by a visit to your doctor. Medicine, doctors, all healing professions in general, are neither good or bad at their own face value, but instead they are as valuable as your vibrational stance can allow them to be. Our encouragement is that you pay attention to your emotional balance, work deliberately to find the best feeling thoughts you can find, and practice them until they are habitual. And in doing so, you will tend to your vibrational alignment first, and then follow through with whatever action you feel inspired to. In other words, a trip to your doctor or action toward anything, when accompanied by joy or love or good-feeling emotion, is always valuable. While action that is motivated by your fear or vulnerability or any bad-feeling emotion is never valuable. Your physical well-being, like everything else, is profoundly affected by the beliefs that you hold. Usually, when you are younger, your expectation of wellness is stronger. But as you get older, most of you degenerate on a sort of sliding scale that reflects what you're seeing in others around you. And your observation is not inaccurate. Older people often do experience more illness and less vitality. But the reason for the decline of people as they get older is not because their physical bodies are programmed to break down over time, but because the longer they live, the more they find to fuss and worry about, causing resistance to their natural stream of well-being. Illness is about resistance, not about age.
Euphoria in the jaws of a lion. I heard that a famous man, a Dr. Livingston, while in Africa, was dragged off by a lion that had grabbed him in his jaws. He said that he went into a sort of euphoric state and felt no pain. I've seen prey go limp like that when they're about to be eaten by a larger animal. It's kind of like there's a giving up and the struggle is over. But my question is about his statement about feeling no pain. Was what he was calling euphoria a mental condition or a physical condition? And is that something that only happens in extreme conditions like when you're about to be eaten or killed? Or could it be utilized by anyone when there's something that's painful in order to not feel the pain?
First, we will say that you cannot accurately separate that which is physical from that which is mental, from that which is coming from your higher or inner being. In other words, you are a physically focused being, yes. And you are a thinking mental being, yes. But the life force or energy that comes forth from within you is offered from a broader perspective. In a situation where it's likely that you would not recover, in other words, once a lion has you in his jaws, usually he's going to be the victor, your inner being intervenes and offers a flow of energy that would be received by you as that sort of euphoric state. You do not have to wait until you are in such an intense situation before you have access to the stream of well-being from Source. But most people do not allow it until they have no other choice. You were right in your choice of words that there was a giving up that allowed that stream of well-being to flow powerfully. But we want you to understand that what was actually given up was the struggle, the resistance, not the desire to continue to live in this physical body. You have to take all of that into consideration as you are examining specific situations. Someone with less enthusiasm for life, with less determination to live and to accomplish, may very well have experienced a different outcome and have been killed and devoured by the lion. Everything that you experience is about the balance of thought between your desires and your expectations. A state of allowing is something that must be practiced in normal day-to-day circumstances, not in the midst of attacks by lions. But even in the middle of such an intense situation, the power of your intentions always causes the outcome. Practiced alignment, brought about by consistently good-feeling thoughts, is the path to being pain-free. Pain is only a more emphatic indicator of resistance. First there's negative emotion, then more negative emotion, then more negative emotion. You have tremendous leeway here. Then sensation, then pain. We tell our physical friends, if you have negative emotion and you don't realize that it's an indicator letting you know about resistant thought, and you don't do something to correct your resistant thought, by the law of attraction, your resistant thought will grow stronger. If you still don't do anything to bring yourself into alignment and better feeling thought, it will grow stronger still, until eventually you will experience pain or illness or other indicators of your resistance.
How could someone feeling pain focus elsewhere? Okay, so I've heard you say that in order to heal ourselves, we want to get our thoughts off of the problem and onto what we're wanting. But if we're in pain, how do we not feel it? How can we get our attention off the pain long enough to concentrate on something we do want?
You're right. It is very difficult not to think about the throbbing toe. Most of you do not think clearly about what you do want until you're living what you don't want. Most of you sort of drift into your day, blundering here and there, not offering any real conscious thought. Because you do not understand the power of your thought, you usually do not offer any real deliberate thought until you're faced with something that you do not want. And then, once you're faced with something that you do not want, then you attack it fully. Then you give it your attention, which, knowing the law of attraction as we do, only makes things worse. And so our encouragement would be, look for times or segments when you're not feeling such intensity of throbbing pain, and then focus upon the well-being. You have to find a way of separating what is happening in your experience from your emotional response to what is happening. In other words, you could have pain in your body, and during the pain, you could be feeling fear, or you could have pain in your body while feeling hopeful. The pain does not have to dictate your attitude or the thoughts that you're thinking. It is possible to think about something other than the pain, and if you can achieve that, then in time the pain will subside. However, if once the pain occurs, you give the pain your undivided attention, then you will only perpetuate more of what you do not want. Someone who's been focused negatively upon any variety of subjects and now is experiencing pain, now has to overcome the pain and focus positively. You see, your negative habit of thought brought about the illness, and to suddenly switch to positive thoughts required to allow wellness is not likely to be a fast process, because now you have the hindering pain or illness or both to contend with. Preventative wellness is far easier to accomplish than corrective wellness. But in either case, improved feeling thoughts, thoughts of greater and greater relief, are the key. Even in situations where a lot of pain is being experienced, there are times of greater and lesser discomfort. Choose the best feeling times from the range you are experiencing to find positive aspects and to choose better feeling thoughts. And as you continue to reach for thoughts that bring greater emotional relief, that positive leaning will eventually bring you back to well-being, every time, no exceptions.
My natural state is one of well-being.
At the core of that which you are is wellness and well-being. And if you're experiencing anything less than that, there is resistance present within your vibration. Resistance is caused by focusing upon the lack of what is wanted, while allowing is caused by focusing upon what is wanted. Resistance is caused by thought that does not match the perspective of your source. Allowing is experienced when your current thoughts do match the perspective of your source. Your natural state is one of wellness, one of absolute health, one of perfect bodily conditions. And if you're experiencing anything other than that, it is only because the balance of thought within you is toward the lack of what you want instead of what you do want. It is your resistance that causes an illness in the first place, and it's your resistance to that illness that holds it to you once it gets there. It's your attention to what you do not want that creates unwanted things in your experience. And so, it's logical that your attention to what you do want would be more appropriate. Sometimes you think you're thinking about well-being when you're really worried about being sick, and the only way to be sure of the vibrational difference is by paying attention to the emotion that always accompanies your thought. Feeling your way to the thoughts that promote wellness is much easier than trying to think yourself there. Make a commitment to yourself to feel good, and then guide your thoughts accordingly, and you'll discover that without even realizing it, that you've been harboring resentments, feeling unworthy, and feeling powerless. But now that you've decided to pay attention to your emotions, these resistant, illness-producing thoughts will no longer go unnoticed. It's not natural for you to be sick, and it's not natural for you to harbor negative emotion. For at your core, you're like your inner being. You are well, and you feel very, very good.
But could a baby's thoughts attract disease? I think I sort of get all of that, Abraham, but the question that almost anyone would ask at this point, even though you touched on it lightly earlier, and that is, how could a new baby that has no conscious awareness of disease, how could they attract the disease?
First, we want to state unequivocally that no one is creating your reality other than you. But it's important to realize that the you that you know as you did not begin as that small infant born to your mother. You are an eternal being, having lived many experiences. You came forth into this physical body from a long background of creating. People often think that it would be a much better world if all newborn babies could be born meeting all of the standards of a perfect physical body. But that's not necessarily the intention of every being who comes forth into a physical body. There are many beings who, because the contrast creates an interesting effect that proves valuable in many other ways, deliberately intend to vary from what is normal. In other words, you just cannot assume that something has gone wrong when babies are born with differences. Imagine an athlete who has become very good at playing tennis. People sitting courtside watching the match may assume that this player would be happiest always playing against an opponent with less skill who she can easily beat. But the athlete may very well prefer exactly the opposite. She may prefer people who are at the top of their game, who draw forth from her focus and precision that's not been drawn before. And in like manner, Many who are at the top of their game in physical creating want opportunities to view life differently so that new options can be evoked and new experiences can be lived. And these beings also understand that there can be tremendous benefit to those who are close by when something different from what is normal is being experienced. People often incorrectly assume that since the baby cannot speak, it could not be creating its own reality, but that is not the case. Even those who do have language are not creating through words, but through thoughts. Your babies are thinking when they are born, and before they are born, they are vibrationally aware. Their vibrational frequencies are immediately affected by the vibrations that surround them in their birth environment, but there's no need to worry about them, for they, like you, were born with a guidance system to help them to discern the difference between the offering of beneficial thoughts and the disallowing of well-being thoughts.
Why have some been born with illnesses? So when you're speaking of the balance of thought, are you saying the balance of thought even from before we're born? In other words, would that be why someone could be born with a physical problem?
It is. But just as the balance of your thought now is equaling what you are living, the balance of thought that you held prior to your birth is also what equaled what you are living. But you must understand that there are those who have come forth deliberately wanting physical disability because they wanted the benefit that they knew would come from it. They were wanting to add some balance to their perspective. Before you came into this physical body, you understood that from wherever you stand, you can make a new decision about what you want. And so there was no concern about your starting place in your physical body because you knew that if that condition inspired a desire for something different, the new desire was attainable. There are many people who have achieved tremendous success in many areas of life who were born into conditions that would be considered to be the extreme opposite of success. And those raw and ragged beginnings served them extremely well, because born out of that poverty or dysfunction was strong desire, which was the beginning of the asking that was necessary before success could begin to flow to them. All beings who come forth into a physical body have full understanding of the body they are coming into, and you may trust that if they came forth and remain, it was their intention from non-physical to do so. And without exception, when where you are currently standing causes you to make another decision about what you now desire, you have the ability, if you focus your thought, to accomplish the essence of that creation. Most who are attracting less than wellness are doing so by default. They may very well desire wellness, while the majority of their thoughts are upon subjects that do not support wellness. It's not a good idea to stand in your perspective and try to evaluate the appropriateness of what anyone else is living, because you'll never be able to figure it out. But you always know where you stand relative to what you are wanting. And if you will pay attention to what you're thinking and let your thoughts be guided by the feeling that comes forth from within you, you'll find yourself guiding your thoughts more of the time in the direction of that which will ultimately please you.
Let's discuss the concept of incurable diseases. Abraham, the most recent of what we call our incurable diseases is AIDS. And yet, we're now beginning to see what they call AIDS survivors, people who've lived way beyond the time that they told they were going to be able to live. What would you suggest to someone who's already afflicted with AIDS and now is wanting some help?
There is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of deterioration, that cannot achieve perfect health. But that which you believe has everything to do with what you allow in your experience. If you've been convinced that something is not curable, that it's fatal, and then you're told that you have it, usually your belief will be that you will not survive, and so you will not. But your survival has nothing to do with the disease and everything to do with your thoughts. And so if you say to yourself, that may be true for others, but it's not true for me, because I am the creator of my experience and I choose recovery, not death at this time, you can recover. We know that these words are easily said by us and not so easily heard by those who do not believe in their power to create. But your experience always reflects the balance of your thoughts. Your experience is a clear indication of the thoughts that you think. When you change the thoughts you are thinking, your experience, or indicator, must change also. It is law.
Focus on fun to regain one's health. Abraham, there was an author, his name was Norman Cousins, who had gone to Russia and had contracted a disease that was considered to be incurable. I don't think that anyone had ever recovered from it. But he survived it. And he said he was able to do so by watching a series of humorous television programs. I understand he just watched those programs and laughed,
and the disease went away. What would you say was behind his recovery?
His recovery was accomplished because he achieved vibrational alignment with well-being. There are two primary factors involved in his finding vibrational alignment. First, his desire for wellness was dramatically enhanced by his illness. And second, the programs he watched distracted him from the illness. The pleasure that he felt as he laughed at the humor of the program was his indication that his disallowance of well-being had ceased. Those are the two factors required in the creation of anything: want it and allow it. Usually, once people have focused upon problems and such enough that they've disallowed their well-being and they're seriously ill, then they turn their undivided attention to the illness, thus perpetuating it more. Sometimes a doctor can enhance your belief in wellness if he has a process or a remedy that he believes will help you, and in that case the desire is amplified because of the illness and the belief is enhanced because of the proposed remedy. But in the case of the supposedly incurable disease or in the case of the supposedly curable disease, the two factors that brought about the healing were the same: desire and belief. Anyone who can come to expect well-being can achieve it under any conditions. The trick is to expect well-being, or as the man in your example did, simply distract yourself from the lack of well-being.
Did ignoring the illness resolve the illness? I've noticed that throughout my adult life, I've never been so sick I wasn't able to do the work I intended to do that day. In other words, I always felt my work was so important that I didn't consider not doing it. I noticed, however, that if I was beginning to feel less than good, like if I was in the beginning stages of a cold or flu, once I got focused on what I needed to do in terms of my work, the symptoms went away. Is that because I was focused on something that I wanted?
Because you had a strong intention to do your work, and because you enjoyed it when you did it, you had the advantage of a strong momentum toward your well-being. So when it seemed that something was distracting from that well-being because of some attention to something unwanted, you had only to focus upon your usual attention and your alignment returned quickly, and the symptoms of misalignment faded quickly. Often you try to accomplish too much through action, and in doing so you feel tired or overwhelmed, and those feelings are your indicator that it's time to stop and refresh. But often you push forward in action rather than taking the time to refresh and realign, and that's a very common reason for uncomfortable symptoms to begin to surface. Most people, when they feel a symptom of sickness, begin to give their attention to the symptom and usually slide rapidly into more discomfort and misalignment. The key is to catch your misalignment early. In other words, whenever you feel negative emotion, that's your signal to reach for a different thought to improve your vibrational balance. But if you do not, your signal will get stronger until eventually you may feel physical discomfort. But even then, as in the example you just stated, you can still refocus on something that you desire, taking your attention from whatever has you out of balance and come into alignment, and the symptoms of sickness must then leave. There is no condition from which you cannot recover, but it is much easier if you catch it in the early subtle stages. Sometimes being sick provides you an escape from something else that you do not want to do. And so in your environment, there is much allowing of sickness for the sake of not having to do something else. But when you begin playing that sort of game with self, you are opening the door to greater and greater and greater sickness.
What's the effect of vaccines on diseases? Abraham, since we create our illnesses through thought, then why do vaccines, like the one we have for polio, let's say, seem to almost put an end to the spread of those particular kinds of diseases?
The illness amplifies your desire, and the vaccine amplifies your belief. Therefore, you've accomplished the delicate balance of creation. You want it, and you allow it, or believe it, and so it is.
What about medical doctors, faith healers, and witch doctors? Well, that would lead me to my next question. People like witch doctors and faith healers and medical doctors, all of them have a reputation for healing some people and for losing some of their patients too. So where do you see the place for such people in thought or in life?
The important thing that all of those have in common is that they stimulate belief in their patients. The first part of the balance of creation has been accomplished because the illness has enhanced the desire for wellness. And anything that brings about belief or expectation will give positive results. When medicine and science stop looking for cures and begin to look for vibrational causes or imbalances, they will see a much higher rate of recovery. If a doctor does not believe that you can recover from your illness, your association with that doctor is extremely detrimental. And often well-meaning doctors will defend their doubt for your recovery by pointing out the odds against it, telling you that it's not likely that you will be an exception. The trouble with that logic, even though it's based on the facts or evidence that medicine and science have come to expect, is that it has nothing to do with you. There are only two factors that have anything to do with your recovery, your desire and your belief. And this negative diagnosis is hindering your belief. And so if you have a strong desire for recovery and doctors are giving you no hope, it is logical that you would turn to alternative approaches where hope is not only allowed but encouraged. For there is much evidence to show that people can recover from supposedly incurable diseases.
Your physician as a means to well-being.
Do not condemn your modern medicine, for it has been created because of the thoughts, desires, and beliefs of the members of your society. But we want you to know that you have the power to accomplish anything that you desire. But you cannot look outside of yourself for the validation to do so. Your validation will come from within you in the form of emotion. Seek your vibrational alignment first, and then follow through with inspired action. Let your medical community assist you in your recovery, but do not ask them to do the impossible. Don't ask them to give you a cure to compensate for your misaligned energy. Without asking, there can be no answering, and attention to a problem really isn't asking for a solution. So it's not unusual that doctors would be examining the physical body, looking for problems for which they might have a solution, but looking for problems is a powerful catalyst for attracting them. And so often, well-meaning doctors are instrumental in perpetuating more illness than they are able to find cures for. We're not suggesting that they're not wanting to help you. We're saying that their dominant intent, when they examine you, is to find some evidence of something wrong. And since that is their dominant intent, that is more of what they will attract than anything else. In time, after they've been involved in it for a period of time, they begin to believe in the fallibility of man. They begin to notice more of what is wrong than what is right. And that is the reason that so many of them begin to attract illness into their own experience.
In other words, is that the reason that so often physicians can't heal themselves?
That is the reason. It is not easy to be focused upon others' negatives without experiencing the negative emotion within your own being. And illness exists because of the allowance of negativity. One who never experiences negativity will not be sick.
What can I do to help them? So, what's the best thing that I, as an individual, could do for other people that are having physical problems?
You never help others when you allow yourself to be a sounding board for their complaints. Seeing them as you know they want to be is the most valuable thing you can do for them. Sometimes that means removing yourself from their vicinity, because when you are near them, it's difficult not to notice their complaints. You might say to them, "I've learned the power of my attention and thought, and so as I hear you speaking of what I know you don't want, I must tell you that I must remove myself, for I don't want to contribute to your miscreating." Try to distract them from their complaints. Try to help them focus upon some positive aspects. Do your best to imagine their recovery. You will know when you are of value to anyone, when you are able to think about the person and feel good at the same time. When you love others without worry, you are an advantage to them. When you enjoy them, you help them. When you expect them to succeed, you help them. In other words, when you see them as your own inner being sees them, then and only then is your association with them to their advantage.
That's great. Wow. But what if they're in a coma? From time to time, someone will say, "I have a friend or a family member who's in a coma." Is there anything we can do for a loved one who's in one of those sort of unconscious states?
You are communicating with those around you vibrationally even more than with your words. So even though your loved one may show no signs of recognition, it does not mean that your communication is not being received on some level. You can even communicate with those who have made their physical transitions in what you call death. So do not assume that a seeming unconscious state has barred your communication. The primary reason why people remain in a coma or unconscious state is that they're seeking refreshment from the lackful thoughts that have been hindering them. In other words, while they have withdrawn their conscious attention from the details of their normal life, they are in a state of vibrational communication with their own inner being. It's an opportunity for refreshment, and it's often a time of decision-making, where they're actually determining whether they will find their alignment by returning to the non-physical, or whether they will awaken again back into their physical body. In many regards, it's not very different from being born into their physical body in the first place. Here's the best attitude for you to hold regarding such people. I want you to do what's important to you. I approve of whatever you decide. I love you unconditionally. If you stay, I will be ecstatic. And if you go, I will be ecstatic. Do what is best for you. That's the best you can do for them.
And so those people who are in a state like that for many years, they're actually doing what they want to do?
Most of them, if it's that length of time, made the decision not to return long ago, and someone in the physical overrode their decision and kept them plugged into a machine. But their consciousness has long gone and will not return to this body.
Could I inherit my grandmother's illness? I've heard people say, I have migraine headaches because my mother had migraine headaches, or my mother's overweight, my grandmother was overweight, and my children are also overweight. Don't some people actually inherit physical problems?
What appears to be inherited tendencies is usually the law of attraction's response to the thoughts that you learned from your parents. However, the cells of your body are thinking mechanisms also, and your cells, like you, can learn vibration from those around them. However, when you identify a desire and you find thoughts that feel good, which indicate that you're in vibrational alignment with your inner being or source, the cells of your body will quickly align to the vibration of well-being that your positive thought has established. The cells of your body cannot develop negative tendencies that lead to disease when you are in alignment with your source. Your cells can only get out of alignment when you are. Your body is an extension of your thought. Your contagious or so-called inherited negative symptoms are supported by your negative thought and could not occur in the presence of chronically positive thoughts, no matter what diseases had been experienced by your parents.
So, if I hear my mother speak of her headaches and I accept that, then I can start having headaches myself?
Whether you heard it from your mother or from another, your attention to something you do not want will, in time, bring the essence of it to you. The headache is a symptom of resistance to well-being, which occurs when you hold yourself in vibrational contradiction to the well-being of your inner being. For example, worrying about work or feeling anger at your government can cause physical symptoms. You do not have to focus upon a headache to have one.
Well then, if I hear my mother complain of headaches, and I consciously reject that and say, well, that may be true for you, but that's not for me, does that in some way protect me?
It's always to your advantage to speak of what you want, but you cannot stay in alignment with who you really are and focus upon your mother's headache at the same time. Speaking of what you do want while looking at what you do not want does not put you in alignment with what you do want. Take your attention from the things you do not want to attract and put them upon the things you do want to attract. Focus upon some aspect of your mother that causes you to feel good, or focus upon something other than your mother that causes you to feel good.
What is the media's role in epidemics? Now, I've been hearing in the media recently that there are free flu shots in town for those who want to go in and get them. Will that news affect the spread of the flu virus in any way?
Yes, it will be of great value to the spread of the flu virus. There is no greater source of negative influence in your environment today than your television. Of course, as in every part of your environment, there is wanted and unwanted, and you do have the ability to focus and therefore receive value from your television and media. But those sources do bring you a tremendously distorted, imbalanced point of view. They look all around your world for pockets of trouble, shining spotlights upon them and magnifying them and enhancing the trouble with dramatic music and then funneling it into your living rooms, giving you a tremendously distorted picture of the trouble versus the well-being of your planet. The constant barrage of medical commercials is a powerful source of negative influence. As I explained to you that one out of every five people has this disease lurking, and you're probably the one, they influence you to give thought. And then they say, see your physician. And when you go to your physician, remember the intent of the physician is to find something wrong. Now your negative expectation is born or enhanced. And with enough of that influence, your body begins to manifest the evidence of those pervasive thoughts. Your medicine is more advanced today than ever before, and yet more of you are sick than ever before. Remember, to create anything, you have only to give thought to it and then expect it, and it is. They show you the statistics, they tell you the horror stories, they stimulate your thought, and as you're being stimulated by the thought in great detail, You have the emotion, the dread, or the fear. I don't want that. And one half of the equation is complete. Then they encourage you to go in for a checkup or to come and get the free flu shot. Obviously, we know it's an epidemic or we wouldn't be offering the free flu shots. And that completes the expectation or the allowing part. And now you're in the perfect position for the receiving of the flu or the essence of whatever it is that they're talking about. You get what you think about whether you want it or not. And so it's of great value for you to begin practicing your own story about your well-being so that when the television presents that frightening story, one that you do not want to live, you can hear their version and feel humor about it rather than fear.
Catch uncomfortable sensations while they're small.
The first indication that you're disallowing your physical well-being comes to you in the form of negative emotion. You will not see a breakdown of your physical body at the first sign of negative emotion, but focusing upon subjects that cause a prolonged feeling of negative emotion will eventually cause disease. If you're unaware that the negative emotion indicates the vibrational disharmony that is hindering the level of well-being that you're asking for, you may be, like most people, accepting a certain level of negative emotion and feeling no need to do something about it. Most people, even when they feel alarm at the level of negative emotion or stress they're feeling, do not know what to do about it because they believe they're reacting to conditions or circumstances that are outside of their control. And so since they can't control the unpleasant conditions, they feel powerless to change the way they feel. We want you to understand that your emotions come in response to your focus, and under all conditions, you have the power to find thoughts that feel slightly better or slightly worse. And when you consistently choose slightly better, the law of attraction will bring steady improvement to your experience. The key to achieving and maintaining a physical state of well-being is to notice the indicators of discord in the early stages. It's much easier to refocus your thoughts in the early subtle stages than after the law of attraction has responded to chronic negative thoughts, bringing bigger negative results. If you could make a decision to never allow negative emotion to linger within you, and at the same time acknowledge that it is your work alone to refocus your attention in order to feel better, rather than asking someone else to do something different or for some circumstance to change to make you feel better, you will not only be a very healthy person, but you will be a joyful person. Joy, appreciation, love, and health are all synonymous. Resentment, jealousy, depression, anger, and sickness are all synonymous.
Wow, that's powerful. Are arthritis and Alzheimer's disease somehow resolvable? Abraham, can the gnarled joints caused by arthritis or the memory loss caused by the Alzheimer's disease be resolved? I mean, is it possible to recover from those kinds of illnesses at whatever age a person's at?
The conditions of your body truly are vibrational indicators of the balance of your thoughts. And so when you change your thoughts, the indicators must change also. The only reason that some diseases seem stubborn and unchangeable is because your thoughts are often stubborn and unchanging. Most people learn their patterns of counterproductive thought, often based on truths they've witnessed or learned from others. And as they hold stubbornly to those patterns of thought, which do not serve them, they then experience the results of those thoughts. And then an uncomfortable cycle occurs, where they think about unwanted things, valid, true, unwanted things, and in doing so, by the law of attraction, they prevent wanted things from coming into their experience and allow unwanted things to come instead. Then they focus even more on those unwanted things, causing more unwanted things to come. You can accomplish change in every experience, but you have to begin to see your world differently. You have to tell the story the way you want it to be rather than like it is. When you choose the direction of your thoughts and conversations by the way they feel as you think them or speak them, then you begin to deliberately offer vibrations. You are vibrational beings whether you know it or not, and the law of attraction is eternally responding to the vibrations you are offering.
Well, can chemicals such as alcohol, nicotine, or cocaine negatively affect our body?
Your physical wellness is affected much more by your vibrational balance than it is by the things that you put into your body. And even more significant to your question is the fact that from your place of vibrational alignment, you would not feel inclined toward any substance that would detract from that balance. Almost without exception, the seeking of those substances comes from a place of less alignment. In fact, the impulse to participate in those substances comes from a desire to fill the void that is present because of the vibrational imbalance.
Are exercise and nutrition a health factor?
Well, okay. In that case, does better nutrition or more exercise add to our health?
You may have noticed that there are those who are very deliberate about food and exercise, whose physical well-being is obvious. And there are those who seem to be offering tremendous effort regarding food and exercise, who struggle for years to gain benefit and still have no success in maintaining their physical well-being. What you do in terms of action is far less important than the thoughts you think, the way you feel, your vibrational balance, or the story you tell. When you take the time to find vibrational balance, the physical effort you apply will yield you wonderful results. But if you do not tend to your vibrational balance first, there's not enough action in the world to compensate for that misaligned energy. From your place of alignment, you will feel inspired to the beneficial behavior, just as from your place of misalignment, you are inspired to detrimental behavior.
Wow, that is big. You know, there's a line that, for some reason, sticks with me through the years. I remember it was a line from Sir Winston Churchill. He was the British leader during World War II. He said, "I never run if I can walk, and I never walk if I can stand, or stand if I can sit, or sit if I can lie down." And he always smoked a big cigar, but he lived to be 90 years of age, and as far as I know, he was always in good health. But his lifestyle was clearly not what we would consider today to be healthy, so was that just a belief factor then?
Leaving at such an early age? The reason that so many are confused about the correct behavior for healthy living is because they're only factoring in behavior, and they're leaving out the part of the equation that is most responsible for every outcome, the way you think, the emotions you feel, and the story you tell.
What if a healthy person feels mostly tired?
Now, if a person seems to be in good health, but feels tired or listless most of the time, what would you suggest as a solution for that?
People often refer to that state of being tired or listless as a state of low energy, and that's really a good way of saying it. While you cannot cut yourself off from your energy source, when you offer thoughts that contradict that source, your resulting feeling is one of resistance or low energy. The way you feel is always about the degree to which you are in alignment or out of alignment with your source, no exceptions. As you tell the story of what you want, which is the story the source within you is always telling, you feel happy and energized. The feeling of low energy is always a result of telling a different story than the expanded source energy part of you is telling. When you tell a story that focuses upon the positive aspects of your life, you feel energized. When you tell a story that focuses upon the negative aspects, you feel enervated. When you focus upon the absence of something that you desire in your present experience, you feel negative emotion. When you imagine an improved condition, you feel positive emotion. The way you feel is always about the relationship between the object of your attention and your true desire. Giving thought to what is wanted will give you the invigoration that you seek.
What is the chief cause of illness?
So, in simple terms, Abraham, give us your overview of the chief cause of illness.
Illness is caused by giving thought to unwanted topics, feeling negative emotion but ignoring it, and continuing to focus upon unwanted such that negative emotion is getting greater, but still ignoring it and maintaining attention upon unwanted, until, by the law of attraction, still more negative thoughts and experiences are attracted. Illness exists when you disregard the early subtle signs of misalignment that come in the form of emotion. If you feel negative emotion and you do not change the thought to relieve the discomfort of the negative emotion, it always gets bigger, until eventually the negative emotion becomes physical sensation, then physical deterioration. However, the illness is only an indication of your vibration, and whenever you change your vibration, the indicator will change to match the new vibration. Illness is nothing more than a physical indicator of energy out of balance. Many people who are experiencing illness disagree with our explanation of the cause of their illness being that the law of attraction is responding to their thoughts, as they protest that they have never thought about that particular illness. But illness does not occur because you're thinking about that illness or about any illness. Illness is an exaggerated indicator of negative thoughts that began as a subtle indicator of negative emotion and grew larger as the negative thoughts persisted. Negative thought is resistance, no matter the subject of the negative thought. That is the reason that new diseases continue to come about. And until the actual cause of the disease is addressed, there will never be a final cure. You have the potential for every illness in your body right now, and you have the potential for a perfect state of health in your body right now. And you will solicit one or the other, or a mixture, depending upon your balance of thought.
So, in other words, from your perspective, there is no physical cause for illness or disease. It's all about thought.
We understand your urge to give credence to action or behavior in attempting to explain causes. As you explain where your water comes from, you would be accurate to point to the faucet as the source of water coming into your kitchen sink. But there is much, much more to the story of where the water comes from than only the faucet. And in like manner, there is much, much more to the story about the source of wellness or of illness. Your ease or dis-ease are symptoms of the balance of your thought. And that balance will manifest through the path of least resistance as surely as water flows downhill.
An example of my old story about my physical well-being.
Let us give you an example of an old story about your physical well-being. I'm noticing symptoms in my body that worry me. As I get older, I feel less strong, less stable, less healthy, less secure. I worry about where I'm headed health-wise. I've tried to take care of myself, but I don't see that it has helped that much. I guess it's just normal to feel worse as time goes on. I saw that with my parents, so I'm really worried about my health.
An example of my new story about my physical well-being.
Here's an example of your new story about your physical well-being. My body responds to my thoughts about it and to my thoughts about everything I think about. The better my thoughts feel when I think them, the more I allow my personal well-being. I like knowing that there's an absolute correlation between how I feel and what my chronic thoughts have been and how those thoughts felt as I thought them. I like knowing that those feelings are meant to help me choose better feeling thoughts, which produce better feeling vibrations, which will produce a better feeling body. My body is so responsive to my thoughts, and that is such a good thing to know. I'm getting rather good at choosing my thoughts. No matter what condition I find myself in, I have the power to change it. My state of physical health is simply an indication of the state of my chronic thoughts. I have control of both. A physical body is an amazing thing, in the way it began as a glob of fetal cells to become this full-blown human body. I'm impressed with the stability of the human body and the intelligence of the cells that make up the human body as I notice how my body accomplishes so many important functions without my conscious involvement. I like that it's not my conscious responsibility to move the blood through my veins or the air through my lungs. I like that my body knows how to do that and does it so well. The human body in general is quite an amazing thing, an intelligent, flexible, durable, resilient, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching thing. My body serves me very well. I love my exploration of life through my physical body. I enjoy my stamina and flexibility. I like living life in my body. I'm so pleased with my eyes that look out into this world, seeing near and far from where I stand, distinguishing shapes and colors with such vivid perception of depths and distances. I so enjoy my body's ability to hear and smell and taste and feel. I love the tactile, sensual content of this planet and my life in this wonderful body. I feel appreciation and fascination for my body's self-patching ability as I watch wounds cover over with new skin and as I discover new resiliency when traumas to my body occur. I'm so aware of my body's flexibility, my fingers' dexterity, and the immediate response that my muscles show to any task I attempt. I like understanding that my body knows how to be well and is always moving toward wellness. And that as I do not get in the way of that with negative thought, wellness must prevail. I like understanding the value of my emotions, and I understand that I have the ability to achieve and maintain physical well-being because I have the ability to find and maintain happy thoughts. On any day in this world, even when some things in my body may not be at their best, I'm ever aware that far, 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 far more things are functioning as they should, and that the aspects of well-being of my body are dominant. And most of all, I love my body's quick response to my attention and intentions. I love understanding my mind-body-spirit connections and the powerful, productive qualities of my deliberate alignment. I love living life in my body. I feel such appreciation for this experience. I feel good. There's no right or wrong way to tell your improved story. It can be about your past, your present or future experiences. The only criteria that is important is that you be conscious of your intent to tell a better feeling, improved version of your story. Telling many good feeling short stories throughout your day will change your point of attraction. Just remember, the story you tell is the basis of your life, so tell it the way you want it to be.